Well, hello everyone, and greetings in the precious name of my Lord and my Savior, Jesus Christ. Again, this is your radio evangelist, Minor Hawk, introducing you to another old-fashioned Christ-honoring gospel program, and it's called The Voice of the Gospel. You know, friends, from time to time I've had people ask me, who is it that sponsors your program? Well, friends, this radio broadcast is not sponsored by any church or denomination. It is kept on the air by the faithful and prayerful support of God's beloved people. I've been broadcasting the gospel by means of radio since March of 1956, and never once have I ever begged for money. No, I've proven the truth of Philippians 4:19, which promises that my God shall supply all my needs according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And I thank God for His Holy Spirit, who has exercised His blood-bought and redeemed people regarding supporting this humble effort to reach a dying world with and for a living Christ. You know, friends, it disturbs me at times when I hear radio pastors spend valuable time begging the listeners for financial support. There they are, preaching salvation or healing by faith, and they themselves don't have faith enough to believe that God will supply their needs. Listen, friends. If God wants this program to stay on the air, nothing and no one could keep it off. On the other hand, if God through His people does not supply the needs for the broadcast, then it's about time the program left the air. In other words, I believe it is unscriptural for any preacher to beg for financial support. And the preacher shouldn't be preaching salvation or healing by faith if he himself doesn't have enough faith to believe that God will supply his needs too. Let's listen to our first hymn today, and it's the well-known favorite, How Great Thou Art.
It is said that branches draw their life from the vine. Each is separate, and yet all are one as they share one life-giving stem. The Bible tells us we are called to a similar union in life, our lives with the life of God. We are incorporated into Him, made sharers in His life. Apart from this union, we can do nothing. O Lord my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the world Thy hands have made, I see the stars, I hear the rolling thunder, Thy power throughout the universe displays. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art.
Thank God today that He is a great God. The prophet Nehemiah tells us in Nehemiah 9 and verse 17, Thou art a God ready to pardon, gracious and merciful, and of great kindness. And I trust that those of you who are listening in today, who've never been saved or born again through faith in the blood of Christ, you'll stay tuned to this broadcast today to hear just how great God is. Let us ask God's blessing on the broadcast. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we bow in Thy holy presence today to thank Thee again for Thy beloved Son. We thank Thee, our God, for the grace that brought Him from heaven to earth to die on the cross for our sin. Thy servant could say, Great is the mystery of godliness, God manifest in flesh. We thank Thee, our God, that while here upon the scenes of time, He did always those things that pleased Thee. And our God, he never pleased thee more than when he died on the old rugged cross. The prophet could say that it pleased the Lord to bruise him and put him to grief. But our God, we thank thee that he's no longer on the cross. He's no longer in the tomb. For this man, after he'd offered one sacrifice for sin forever, sat down at the right hand of God. And, O God, we thank thee for the man in the glory. We thank thee that he's our great high priest. He's our advocate. He's our intercessor. Lord, the only mediator we have between us and thee today is the Lord Jesus Christ. And it's through him that we approach thy throne of grace to ask thy blessing upon thy word about to be read and spoken from today. Save souls to his honor and glory alone, for we ask it in his name. Amen. Now, before we open the Bible and get into the message today, let's listen to another lovely tune, and it too is a favorite, Wonderful Words of Life. Bibles handy and would care to follow me in the scriptures, we're going to look at five separate portions of the Word of God today. You know, five is the number of grace, and we're going to learn a little bit about the great God of grace today. First of all, in Genesis chapter 6, we'll read together verse 5. Genesis 6 and verse 5. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now for our second scripture, we'll go back to the New Testament book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2, and we'll read verse 3. Hebrews 2 and verse 3. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? The third scripture found in the Gospel by Luke, chapter 16. Luke chapter 16, and we'll read for sake of time, verse 26. And beside all this, between us and you, there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. The fourth scripture, back in the Old Testament book of Job. Job chapter 36 and verse 18. Job 36, verse 18. Because there is wrath, beware, lest he take thee away with his stroke, then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. And now for our fifth and final scripture, the book of Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20, begin reading at verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. and the Lord will add His blessing to the public reading of His Word. Well, friends, today I've read to you five separate portions of Scripture, and each of these Scriptures had something to do with the word great, something that God calls great. Yes, in each text we read of something which the God of heaven, the one who created all things and who upholds all things by the word of His power, and yet He refers to them as great. Now, when God says that something is great, we can be sure that it's something whose uniqueness far surpasses our mere finite comprehension. After all, God is the creator of all things, the heavens and the earth, and all that dwell therein. And He's the one who upholds all things, as I say, by the word of His power. And so, friends, when God declares something to be great, then our attention should be directed to what He's referring to, because it surely must be great. Great. Now, in our first scripture, Genesis 6 and 5, we read of the conditions just prior to the great flood of Noah's day. And God says that the wickedness of man was great upon the earth. Yes, there was great wickedness. And friends, today, just as in Noah's day, there is great wickedness upon the face of the earth. Murder, adultery, theft, and falsehood is written upon the lives of countless multitudes everywhere. The newspapers are filled, page after page, with the gross sin and iniquity which abounds on every hand. Yes, the world today is preparing the way for the man of sin, the son of perdition, and this scene of time and sense is soon going to feel the wrath of a great sin-hating God. And friends, one of the saddest facts to acknowledge in these days of great wickedness is the apparent failure of God's people to strengthen the moral fiber of which this country was made. Carnality amongst Christians is the rule rather than the exception. Yes, there's a growing trend toward complacency, compromise, and carnality even amongst God's redeemed people. And friends, it's all pointing forward to the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. You recall in Matthew chapter 24 where the Lord Jesus Christ declared that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it also be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. Now, friends, as God looks down from heaven today, the sight which He beholds must bring a stench to His nostrils. Yes, there's great wickedness in the world today, and things aren't getting any better either. In fact, if it were not for the restraining influence of the Holy Spirit of God in the world today, conditions, I believe, would be a lot worse. But, sinner friend, today I want you to realize that as an individual creature of God, if you've never been saved or born again, then you too are wicked in God's sight. In Isaiah 1 and 6, we're told that from the soles of the feet, even to the top of the head, you're nothing but wounds and bruises and putrefying sores in the sight of a holy God. Again, in Romans 3 and 10, God says that there's none righteous, no, not one. And in verse 23 of Romans chapter 3, we hear God's infamous summation of mankind today. And here's what He says. He says, there's no difference, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yes, unregenerated man is a lost rebel creature in the sight of a holy God. And in this spiritually depraved condition, man can do absolutely nothing to please a holy God. However, if the Holy Spirit of God reveals to man his true sinful condition, then and only then can he respond to the grace of God. Only then can he trust the Lord Jesus Christ as his own and personal Savior. Yes, only when we realize our spiritually lost condition can we come to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith. And again, I remind you that this is all the work of the Holy Spirit of God through the Word of God. Now let's take a look at our second scripture, Hebrews 2 and verse 3. Here we read of something else which God calls great. Here's what we read. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Sinner friend, God refers to the redemptive work of His Son, Jesus Christ, as a great salvation. Now of course time doesn't permit our going into the many reasons why salvation is so great, because our mere finite minds could not grasp the underlying truths involved in the God of heaven becoming flesh and dying on the old rugged cross for our sin. But listen, friend, God doesn't ask us to understand this great salvation. All he expects us to do is to accept it by simple faith alone. And friends, to accept God's great salvation is to denounce our own ability to achieve favor in God's eyes. It means to humble ourselves in the presence of God, as well as in the presence of God-given truth. And friends, it's to acknowledge we can't do a thing to either merit or to inherit the great salvation provided by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Over in Titus 3 and 5 we read that it's not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to God's mercy he saves us. Again in Ephesians chapter 2 verses 8 and 9 we're told, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works." Did you hear that, friend? Salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, friends, very briefly, the reason why God calls his salvation great is simply because of the great price that was paid for our soul's redemption. In 1 Timothy 3 and verse 16 we read, "Great is the mystery of godliness, God manifest in flesh." Yes, sinner friend, the God of heaven veiled his heavenly glory in human flesh and went all the way to Calvary's cross to suffer, bleed, and die for poor lost sinners like you and I. And the great price required to satisfy the claims of the holy God against our sin was the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. In Hebrews 9 and 22, God declares that without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. And that's the reason the Son of God became the sacrificial lamb, so that he could shed his innocent blood as an atonement for our sin. Back in 1 John 1 and 7, we read the words that the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And today, almost 2,000 years after the crucifixion of the Lord Jesus Christ, the value and virtue of his precious blood has not decreased one iota, because faith in that blood today brings the sinner back to a new and proper relationship with his Creator God. In Colossians 1 and 20 we read concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, having made peace by the blood of his cross. Again in Romans 5 and 1 we're told, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And later on in that chapter, Romans 5, 8 and 9, here's what we read. God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And sinner friend, you too can have peace with God and escape the wrath of God by accepting his great salvation expressed in the death, burial, and resurrection of his Son, Jesus Christ. And remember, friend, what our text says today, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Yes, God is faithful in warning the unsaved that there is no escape from his terrible wrath if they neglect or reject his great salvation. In John 3 and 36 we read, "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." And that leads us to our next text for today, and that was the one we read in Luke 16 and verse 26. There we read of the man who died unsaved and went to hell, and he was so tormented in the flames that he requested Abraham to send Lazarus to dip the tip of his finger in water to cool his parched tongue. And Abraham reminded the lost soul that Lazarus couldn't relieve his suffering because there was a great gulf fixed between them. A great gulf, and it's fixed. It can't be changed. It's forever and forever. In other words, the die was cast. Eternal separation from God was the plight of the rich man in hell. No longer could he enjoy the temporal blessings of time and sense. No longer could he eat, drink, and be merry. No longer could he be dressed in fine linen and fare sumptuously every day. No longer could he bask in the sunshine of God's grace. He had passed out of time into eternity, and it was impossible to receive any relief for his excruciating pain as well as his thirst. Why? because there was a great gulf fixed. Now, while here on earth, he had enjoyed the pleasures of sin for a season, but now he was down in hell, suffering the torments of the doomed and damned. And sinner friend, the sad part about his plight was the fact that his punishment was irrevocable. He had made a choice which determined his soul's eternal destiny. And don't forget, friend, that destiny is determined by decision. This man had played the fool, and now it was too late. He was lost and lost forever. Yes, the rich man on earth became the beggar in eternity, and the beggar on earth became the rich man in eternity. Now, sinner friend, I don't like to speak about hell and the wrath of God, but what would you think of me if I allowed you to drop into hell without at least warning you to flee from the wrath to come? Ah, no, my friend, it gives me no pleasure whatsoever to speak about eternal torment and the place of eternal separation from God. But on the other hand, I must, in love for your soul and in view of the great eternity that lies ahead, I must tell you the truth of God's word. And sinner friend, if you reject the great salvation of God being offered to you today, then you are inviting the judgment of God, and that simply means hell and the lake of fire. Now that leads us to our next scripture text, Job 36 and verse 18. Here's what we read. Because there is wrath, beware, lest he take thee away with his stroke. Then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. Now here we read again of the wrath of God, and how that once it falls upon the sinner, then a great ransom cannot deliver him from this terrible great wrath. You know, there are a lot of people today, and they're misguided, and there's at least 800 million of them on the face of the earth, who believe that even though they die and go to a place of torment, their relatives and friends can pay and pray to have them delivered from this terrible place called purgatory. Ah, listen, my friend. They think they can leave the torments of purgatory and enter into the joy and bliss of heaven because a great ransom has been paid for their soul. Listen, friend. This diabolical doctrine is completely contrary to the Word of God. In fact, this terrible delusion of the devil regarding a place called purgatory never even came into existence until almost 1,250 years after the death of Christ. And yet mankind is governed by such a deceitful heart that he's willing to exercise wishful thinking instead of reading and believing the Word of God. Well, friends, our text makes it quite clear that if you die outside of Christ, then a great ransom cannot deliver thee. Sinner friend, the ransom for your sinful soul has already been paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ at Calvary's cross. And if you don't trust in His blood in this life, then there will be no ransom great enough to deliver you from torment in the place called hell. You know, over in Luke 5 and verse 24, the Bible says that Jesus Christ has power on earth to forgive sins. Not after you die, not after you go to a place of torment. It's here on earth that salvation is made available to those who don't deserve the least of God's mercy. In closing, my friend, we have our last text for today, which began in Revelation 20 and verse 11. And there we read of how the Word of God tells us of the great white throne of judgment. There every unredeemed sinner will stand before God, and the unsaved, both small and great, will be judged and consigned eternally to the lake of fire. Sinner friend, Hebrews 9 and 27 tells us that it is appointed unto man once to die, but after this, the judgment. So friend, why not come to Jesus Christ right now? Why not assure yourself of being in God's heaven for all eternity? Yes, sinner friend, all you have to do to receive the great salvation of God is to acknowledge your great wickedness in God's sight. And if you do, you'll escape the great white throne judgment. Friend, if you're listening in today, and you've never placed your trust in the finished work of God's Son, well, why not come to the foot of the cross and behold the One who met your every need? Yes, see by faith the One who bare your sin in His own body on the tree. Friend, salvation can be yours today. It's without money and without price, because the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Friend, whoever you are and wherever you may be, I plead with you to repent of your sin and in simple childlike faith just acknowledge within your heart that when Jesus Christ died on the old rugged cross, he was dying as a sacrifice for your sin. Yes, just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ as your own and personal Savior. And friend, if you do, according to God who cannot lie, you'll be saved for time. And thank God, you'll be saved for all eternity. And remember, my friend, this is for eternity. Yes, this is for eternity. Let us pray. Our gracious God and our Father in heaven, we bow our hearts in thy presence today to thank thee again for thy Son. We thank thee for thy great salvation expressed in drops of crimson blood that flowed from his body at Calvary's cross. We thank thee, our God, that he could cry, "It is finished." He completed the work that thou didst give him to do. And those of us who are saved today, we can rest where God rests, in the finished work of Christ. But our God, we have loved ones outside of Christ. And O God, we trust that thy Holy Spirit today may speak to them. Reveal to them their lost and ruined condition in thy sight. And may they flee by faith to Calvary to behold thy Son, the Lamb of God, bearing away their sin in his own body on the tree. Bless the word wherever Christ is being preached today to the ends of the earth. Crown this day of grace with the salvation of precious souls. We'll be careful to give thee all the thanksgiving and praise, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, friends, this concludes another Voice of the Gospel broadcast. If there's someone listening in who would like to know more about God's way of salvation, and who would like to have some free gospel literature, I'll be only too glad to send it to you absolutely free and postpaid. All you have to do is to send me your name and address. You send your name and address to the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania. And the zip code is 15134. The address again, the Voice of the Gospel, Post Office Box Number 6, McKeesport, Pennsylvania, zip code 15134. And now to our next broadcast, Lord willing. This is your Voice of the Gospel speaker, Minor Hawk, wishing you and yours God's very richest blessing, which is salvation through faith in the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Good day.